B-Pod Studios.
All right, let's go to our man on the scene covering free agency and providing a service. I think a much needed service for our society in this serious time of very scary time. And he's doing a great job, as always. Cover the Eagles, Inquirer.com. Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Jeff, first of all, how you doing, man? How's the family?
Yeah, we're surviving, you know. Quarantined, obviously. Live in Montgomery County, so... Well, actually, I guess all schools have been closed in Pennsylvania, so we're all going through this together. If you have kids and are working from home.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's scary, man. It's scary. You got kids and, you know, you've got elderly parents that you're worried about. You know, all that stuff comes into play.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, certainly, and just your common man. I mean, just, we have to realize that, social distancing is in these early days are going to be really important in slowing the spread of this disease. So, while you may be young or you haven't shown symptoms, there's possibilities that you are a carrier as well and you don't even realize it. And people who are at more at risk, could potentially put them even more at risk.
So, I'll ask you, do you think it's wise for the NFL to conduct business as is?
I don't know. Obviously it doesn't affect them, the bans on large social gatherings, as obviously as much as it does as the other pro sport teams at this time. Free agency is basically something that happens, in a vacuum. You don't really need visits, especially for most of these top guys in the early stages of free agency. You do have to bring them in eventually for physicals, and you're wondering about travel and how the restrictions on that could affect how teams are handling free agency. But the optics aren't particularly great that, you know, you're still kind of going on with business. I mean, obviously business still has to be conducted, but is the NFL a necessary one? I understand it's a diversion and sports fans around the country, especially here in Philadelphia, are looking for some diversion in light of what's going on in the real world. So I can understand that. But at some point, I mean, is it going to be weird before, you know, talking about some guy, millionaires making more millions, and can you even really get excited about getting certain players on your team if you're not really if you're really unsure about the future of this country, to be quite frank?
I know. We had Mike Garofalo on, and we were talking to Mike, and he was talking about, you know, not putting salaries in because, you know, you think about it now, these financial things, we're going to be under a horrible recession. We're already afraid people are losing jobs, the whole thing. And, you know, nobody wants to see about who's making what.
Right. I mean,
who signed
a lot of times
football.
Right. And some of these with the, you know, they just agreed to the new CBA. We saw the salary cap for each team is close to $200 million. I mean, there's a lot of money out there to be spent. And in free agency, especially with the top guys, there's going to be millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars spent. And right now, there's a lot of people who are out of work. There's a lot of people who work in fields in which their businesses are closed or are unable to open. And people who work for these companies who can't make money to, quite frankly, put food on the table for their families. So it does put that in perspective when you put it into that context.
All right, let's get into like some fun stuff just to take people's minds off of things for just a moment. All right, let's look at Eagles, and let's look at just anything popping, any hearing anything other than the release of Alshon Jeffery.
Yeah, well, I mean, they had a little news this morning. Hassan Ridgeway.
Yeah.
Was an unrestricted free agent, and the Eagles are using the opportunity to get him locked up to 1 year. And Corey Clement, as you guys have probably talked about, the Eagles are not going to tender him, and he'll become an unrestricted free agent. In terms of the other players, I think that's obviously everyone's a little more excited about. the potential is there. I mean, you know, Byron Jones is on the radar. I mean, they're definitely gonna be in on him. The question is, how much will it cost? And I'm not sure if Howie's willing to write a blank check for a guy that's good, but is he an elite cornerback? You have to be careful.
Oh, you're so right. I mean, think about it. You want to talk about a guy that's reaching free agency at the perfect time, right after the new CBA, and who plays that position, he'll get way overpaid.
Yeah, he could get upwards of, I mean, some are saying even $18 million per year. I'm not sure if that is. Right now, the highest paid corner is like $15 a year. So he's probably going to end up being the highest paid corner. I mean, obviously the guaranteed, we'll see what the guarantee is, but at least on a per year basis, he'll probably be the highest paid cornerback in the NFL. As you mentioned, because of the timing of his free agency and the fact that the Cowboys, because they have to deal with Dak Prescott and potentially Amari Cooper, they can't keep him. Although you could argue that maybe they'd rather keep him than Cooper, but that's another story. But you don't want to overpay, and the Eagles have, you know, been there, done that before. But in free agency, if you're one of the one top guys, you got to be willing to overpay. And while Howie's avoided doing that the last, you know, basically since he's been reinstated into power. In fact, really, honestly, going all the way back to the Dream Team offseason, he has been, Howie's been essentially prudent when it comes to signing free agents. He signed some second-tier guys to some pretty hefty contracts, but nothing where it's like top of the market. And he's usually been a little more creative with trades, et cetera, of getting guys here that that are kind of marquee guys or address a certain specific need of the Eagles. But I think with cornerback, it's a position that they have done not a very good job evaluating over the last decade plus. And you look at the roster as is, and Sidney Jones and Russell Douglas are under contract for next season, but you can't rely on either of them, to be frank. And you need to address it, and you got to do it some way. And I'm not sure if Byron Jones is the guy. I mean, certainly James Bradbury, Desmond Trufant was just released today. I know he's a little bit on the older end of the spectrum, but there are opportunities to upgrade the cornerback position, and I'm pretty sure that the Eagles will find some way to do it in free agency or via trade.
So, all right, so let's go position by position a little bit. We'll have some fun. So running back is interesting, right? So they say goodbye to a Super Bowl and a local hero, and what are they going to do? Because it's going to be interesting, because Sanders is the guy, but will they have the thunder lightning that they had last year?
Yeah, it's a good question. Jordan Howard, I think, yeah, theoretically, you'd like to bring him back to be a little bit of a compliment to Miles Sanders. He wouldn't be the lead back anymore. Miles is going to be the guy. But if you're looking at it from Jordan's perspective, why would you come back here if you're not going to get the amount of carries that you want? And he's kind of a rhythm guy. He needs a certain number of touches per game, I think, to get going. And I'm not saying he's going to get a big contract out there. He plays a position that is not of great value in the NFL, but I would assume Howard has better options out there. So if you have Booby coming back, you have Boston Scott, that's two pieces. Now I can see maybe some later in the draft. I mean, they've gotten undrafted guys over the years. So I think running back is probably lower on the list of team needs.
So receiver, there's the veteran guys. I mean, are there guys you would have any interest from a free agent? We know they're going to address receiver in the draft.
Right. It's a good question. My feeling is that it won't be something that they are aggressive in free agency, if you're talking about Cooper or Robbie Anderson. Look, they still have DeSean Jackson under contract. They still have Alshon Jeffery under contract, although I'm under the expectation that the latter guy will be gone at some point, especially now that the new CBA has been ratified. So if you bring DeSean back, you have one side, not particularly accounted for, but you have somebody on your roster that has done it before. You have JJ that certainly is coming back. Can you trust him? Probably not in terms of being a starter. You draft somebody, maybe you bring one of the a second or third or fourth tier kind of veteran receiver to come in just to be a break glass in case of emergency, in case the guy maybe say you draft in the first or second round isn't ready to step in immediately and be a contributor. But I could see how he may be doing something more in the trade market than in the free agent market to upgrade the wide receiver position, if that's the way he's going to go.
Any update on Jordan Mailata and how he's been, how they view him?
It's funny. I was just going through the entire roster, looking at some of the decisions the Eagles have to make on their own guys. And Mailata is, I guess, in line to, if you look at the roster as is, and Haole-Poliʻuvātai-Vaitai is expected to become sign elsewhere as an unrestricted free agent, then I guess Mailata would be your swing guy behind Andre Dillard and Lane Johnson. He hasn't been able to really practice the full season the last 2 years. He's had injuries that have kind of placed him on a IR and hasn't really given him the benefit of getting a full kind of year of working with Jeff Stoutland. He hasn't had much game, many game reps, essentially only in the preseason. So can you entrust him to that, to play that spot? I'm not entirely sure. But that being said, seventh round draft pick, not a huge amount invested in him. Bring him back again, see how he develops. But they do have other options at that position as well. Matt Pryor can certainly swing out and play tackle if they see him playing more of that position down the road as well.
All right, so defensively is where they need a lot of work too. You figure, you're going to address, like to me, I told you before, I want to go Henry Ruggs, and I'm trading up, and it doesn't matter. I think we talked about the speed. So let's go back to defense and where you think they're going to need help. I mean, don't they need another pass rusher? Am I crazy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was one of the positions under the radar. They struggled to get the production that they needed because Derek Barnett's injuries and Brandon Graham had a nice year, had a good year, but not a number one end year. And Vinny Curry was your third guy, and I thought Vinny actually ended up having a pretty solid year, but he's a free agent, and my expectation is that he'll sign somewhere else. So you have room on the roster to bring somebody in, and do you want to go big? Do you want to go Jadeveon Clowney? I don't think they will do that, but they got to do something. And there are some names out there, not particularly big names. And maybe that's better for them. Maybe they can, address the position by signing guys who aren't going to break the bank. Of course, that position, man, you saw last year when there were a number of unrestricted free agents out there, those guys signed big deals, and a lot of them weren't even really top of the market guys. So you got to spend for friends. And, the Eagles wanted to avoid that by drafting someone like, Derek Barnett, and he needs to step up. But, I guess
last year was the step up year,
Yeah, a lot of older guys. Maybe you can get 1 year out of Cameron Wake. I don't know. Pierre Paul, it looks like Eric Armstead's going to stay with the 49ers, so he's not going to hit free agency. He would have been a guy that you'd be interested in spending if you're willing to dip into your payroll. But other than that, really not a lot of attractive names.
How about from a linebacker standpoint? Because we get no linebackers. You go and what do? You looking at any kind of veteran guy that you get in here?
Yeah, I could see them signing somebody. Again, you know how they feel about the linebacker position. They have so many other greater needs in my book. And, obviously I don't think you all of a sudden think that T.J. Edwards and Nate Gary are going to be your two starting guys next year. I know they like Edwards, and Gary's been pretty good. But you lose Bradham, a guy, he's basically your three down linebacker. Camu Grugier-Hill's an unrestricted free agent. He'll probably leave. So do you look at someone like, there are some pretty good names out there. I'm trying to think, top of my head, Falcons have somebody as well that, inside linebacker that they could,
Don't worry.
Anyway, there are some names out there, but again, you got to be willing to to spend for some of these guys. I mean, look, they're not going to get huge deals. I guess Corey Littleton's a name that's been thrown out.
Yeah.
Kyle Van Noy, although he's, I don't know if his scheme-wise, he's a guy I'll go over.
Yeah, he's not fit, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think those are guys that, so I could see them, somebody dipping maybe that we may even, haven't even considered.
How's that, I'm just curious, because, you know, at the end of the season, there was that weird kind of coaching staff thing with Schwartz. And, you know, I remember he was a candidate at some point for head coach. Obviously, he didn't get it, but, you know, I think Doug kind of clarified the whole Schwartz thing. But what's his like, mental framework like? Have you spoken to him at all?
Jimmy?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not best of buddies. I don't think anybody in the media talks to Jim much. I bumped into him at the combine, but that was about it.
Yeah, I know he's not. I know.
Yeah, he's not a social butterfly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's here. I think obviously he's a guy that would love to get back to being a head coach, but I just don't think that's a reality for various reasons. You know, Jim's voice has meant a lot in that room in terms of personnel. How he's really kind of relied on him these last several years, ever since he hired him in 2016. I mean, if you recall that out, that offseason, Nigel Bradham, you know, Leotis McKelvin, these are guys.
And you have written this a bunch of times about how powerful his voice is in that building, and that's because of his relationship with Howie.
Absolutely. I mean, last offseason, the Eagles had down the linebacker position to either Jamie Collins or Zach Brown. And the personnel department suggestion was to sign Jamie Collins, although he wasn't 100% a scheme fit. They just felt like bringing him in, he could do a lot of stuff for you. And Schwartz wanted Zach Brown, and that's who they went with. Back in September, I mean, well, it was understood that Schwartz was basically the guy that didn't want Chris Long back. And they went with his suggestion. But then even when Malik Jackson went down, Howie reached out to Chris, said, hey, man, we want to bring you back. Chris was like, okay, give me a few weeks to get back into football shape. And you know, at some point, it was suggested to him to reach out to Schwartz to find out how, you know, Jim envisioned him playing. And I think over the course of that conversation, Chris came to the realization that Jim didn't really want him or didn't have any plans for him to play much. And Chris had basically just decided to say, okay, I'll just stay retired. You know, he's moved on to other businesses and dealings in the media now. But you know, that was Jim Schwartz, and Jim is great, or as much a sway as any coordinator in the NFL. And while he's earned some of that, you do have to question some of the personnel decisions that have been made over the last several years.
Wow, that's amazing, man. That's so interesting, isn't it? That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, one last thing. I'm just curious. How do you think the Eagles will work? How do you think this draft will work? Because they're talking about they will still televise the draft. Obviously, there's no gathering. So you'll have your cameras set up and a lot of Skyping going on. And, you know, NovaCare becomes like each hub, each little fiefdom becomes a hub for the telecast. Kind of looking like that?
Yeah. I think they're going through various ideas for how they can handle it and how they can make it, quote-unquote, exciting. You know, they've done very well in going to different cities. We all know how much of a success the draft was several years ago when it came to Philadelphia. But it's, for the most part, a TV thing, you know, and yeah. I think they still can kind of conduct it that way. And again, we don't know what the world's gonna be like in 6 weeks when they do hold the draft. So I can't really predict the vibe of celebrating these picks. Can you do that? Can you even have, you know, I'm not sure the old, I mean, obviously you weren't around back then, but like, you know, I talked to old timers who are like, yeah, we'd cover the NFL draft and one day we'd go in and we'd get it and they would fax the draft picks to us when it was all done. And that was it.
Could you imagine that? Oh my God. Yeah. That's great. Baldy tells me that stuff. Like guys would, you know, they call him and, you know, some dude would come in and he'd sign a contract. Yeah, we're offering this for you. You know,
yeah.
Crazy stuff. Hey,
or they'd be like, I think I remember Roy Hoffman who covered the Eagles for the Daily News, and I think the Eagles are like, hey, yeah, we drafted Mike Quick. You guys want to talk to him? And he's like, and everyone's like, yeah, we'll talk to him in a couple of days or whatever.
That's so amazing. It's incredible that we are during our lifetime to how it just exploded.
It's exploded, and yeah. You know, that's, I guess, the NFL and making the decision to kind of go on with this realize, you know, it's certainly a bottom line decision, I'm sure, but I think they're factoring in the importance it is for fans as well.
Yeah, that's true. Brother, listen, you be safe. Watch yourself. Is the paper, all you guys are all home quarantined?
Yes, yeah. No one's allowed in the office. I mean, luckily I have a profession where I can work. I mean, I work from home a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, we can still do our jobs and a lot, you know, editor, you can still and put the paper out. And I know right now it's, you know, our website, inquire.com, all of our, coronavirus coverage is free. So click on inquire.com and get all the updated information on everything involving the virus, but also closings and everything that is impacting you in this region, because it's important and we're trying to give as much detailed information as we possibly can.
Amen, brother. Amen. All right, be safe, man. We love you, buddy.
All right, talk to you soon.
See you, brother. There he is, Jeff McClain.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.